This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. As always, joined on Thursdays by my partner in crime, Matt Eumanns. And hello to all of you watching live on X at VSiN Live. Also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/VSiN Live. We will have Stanford Steve Coughlin from ESPN. The Scott Van Pelt Show, College Game Day, SV Pod. He's going to join us here in about 15 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the college football playoff. Matt, the regular season almost complete. One more final regular season game, Army and Navy on Saturday. But we've got a playoff in front of us. 12 teams, chances to win a national championship. I'm fired up, man. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, you should be fired up because we have millions watching this show from around the world.
That is
again
true.
This week. And, you know, it is kind of disappointing that the college football regular season flies by like this. But I got to tell you, I talked with Brent Musburger about this last week on the Friday night show. I love the 12-team college football playoff. I know it's going to expand. It's going to be 14 or 16 eventually. But, Tim, I think this brings so many more teams into it and so much more excitement to the late season college football games. Who's going to get in the playoff? Who's going to be left out? And let's face it, when was the last time a team like UNLV had a shot to get into the college football playoff? And on Friday night in Boise last week, the Rebels had a shot. So are there flaws in the system? Is there, are there shortcomings with the playoff committee? Of course. Nothing's ever going to be quite perfect with that. But I like the playoff. I think it's a great thing. It's also a great thing for bettors and bookmakers. I say this all the time. The more meaningful games you have, the better it is for the books and the bettors.
Yeah, people said it would devalue the regular season. I could not disagree more when you think about the Big 12 championship. Why would that game have had as much importance as it did last week? And Arizona State, to their credit, went out and dominated that game, and they get a bye. Should they deserve a bye? That is a discussion for another day, not really for a betting podcast. But, you know, we're going to jump into these games. I'll just say this. Next week, we're going to do the full deep dive on all four of the first round games. We certainly will give our early thoughts. But to your point, Matt, you know, and I'll use DraftKings, for example, but I know FanDuel and plenty of other books will have many offerings. But think about it this way, right? You've got props. You've got totals, you've got sides, but also you've got different future bets. And you wrote about one of them in our college football betting guide, which is available now over at vsin.com/subscribe, Matt, where there are so many different ways to attack this. It's, hey, exacta to win the championship. It's to make the Final Four, to, you know, how many over-under on wins. To your point about from a betting standpoint, we as bettors, the college football playoff is phenomenal.
Yeah, because in the let's face it, in recent seasons, the bowl season has kind of been devalued a little bit because of so many opt-outs and player transfers and the free agency that's hit college football, so the bowl season wasn't the same. This guarantees you're going to have more games where players are not going to opt out, and they're obviously going to give their best effort here. So I'm fired up for it, too. I think this is going to be a great 12-team playoff, and even though the bracket could be a little bit better, we got to roll with it, make the most of it, and we'll talk about some of the things maybe that we would nitpick with the bracket. But, Tim, I like the chances for your Fighting Irish.
You gave them out last week on the podcast at 10-1. Those odds have shortened a little bit with the way the bracket has unveiled there for the Irish. As right now, look ahead numbers, and we talked to Matt Grill on VSiN Primetime on Wednesday night from DraftKings Sportsbook, and he said, you know, we opened at Notre Dame 2.5. They saw a rush of Georgia money. It's now down to 2, but it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out. But let's start right there. Once again, full breakdown in the games next week, but thoughts aplenty right now. So let's get to Notre Dame, Indiana. Total 51. You can get a 51.5 at DraftKings, South Point, a couple other shops as well. So we've seen a little bit of over money hit the market here on Notre Dame, Indiana. And it's interesting to note this. Wednesday night, when I was sitting at Circa, the number went from 7.5 down to 7. It's a juice 7 at Circa now. That is the lowest on the board if you want to bet the Irish. 7.5 if you like the Hoosiers. Early thoughts on Notre Dame, Indiana, the battle of Indiana, the showdown of me versus Wes Reynolds. We got to figure out, by the way, some sort of friendly wager there between the two of us. But for this game, Matt, first time since 1991, Notre Dame and Indiana have met on the gridiron.
I would say if the Hoosiers win, that you have to wear one of those Lee Corso Indiana sweaters
I'm in.
On a show next week. And if the Irish win, Wes Reynolds has got to dress up like a leprechaun on the air.
I'm done.
How about that?
Let's make it happen.
Okay. I like the Irish in this game, but I don't love them, Tim. And laying this number 7 or 7.5, I'm not going to do that. My bet on the Irish is to win the college football playoff. And, you know, I'll deal with that down the road, so I'll talk about that a little bit more. But what I see from this game, you know, watching the Irish up close at the L.A. Coliseum a couple weeks ago, and you were there that day, I was really impressed by how physical Notre Dame is on the offensive and defensive lines. And it's still a Notre Dame offensive line that's not as strong as we thought it was going to be coming into the season, had a couple of key injuries. I think the Irish are going to run the ball at Indiana, control this game on the ground. You got a quarterback in Riley Leonard, who I've said before, reminds me a lot of Josh Allen when he was at Wyoming. I think that's why Stanford Steve is dressed up in his Wyoming gear today. But if you remember Josh Allen at Wyoming, he was an erratic passer.
Yep.
But he was a great athlete. He could get out and run, he'd make plays, and he had a rocket for an arm. Riley Leonard might not be packing a rocket right arm, but I'll tell you what, he can get out the pocket and make plays. And he's a lot more athletic than people think. He reminds me of Josh Allen when he gets out and runs. But on top of Leonard, you got Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, two top-notch running backs. I think that running attack is going to be too much for Indiana to handle over four quarters. Irish are not going to be throwing the ball, I don't think, a lot in this game. I think they're going to control it on the ground. And when you watch the Indiana-Ohio State game, what were the Buckeyes most successful at? They controlled Indiana's offense, especially shut down the Hoosiers' ground attack, right? And they forced Curtis Rourke to try to make plays through the air. I think this Notre Dame defense is better than the Ohio State defense. To me, the Irish grind this one out, low-scoring type of game. I'm going to say something like 24-20, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I do believe Notre Dame gets the win. I don't want to lay the points. I did play this under the total of 51.
Indiana comes into the game allowing just 2.46 yards per carry. But to your point, I don't think they've faced a rushing attack like they will see.
Faced a lot of weak running offenses in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Jeremiah Love also got a little nicked up against USC. Marcus Freeman, when meeting with the media, said he's good to go. Also big news for the Irish, Howard Cross, interior defensive lineman that missed the last couple of games with an ankle injury. He is back, so that's a big coup for the Irish there. So can't wait to watch this game. I think Notre Dame ultimately does win this game. We'll see how this number goes. Do we get 7, 6.5? I don't know if we'll ultimately get there, but I would certainly look at the Irish here.
I don't think it goes to 6.5. I know a lot of respected bettors who really like the Irish here, but they want to lay 7.
Yep.
You know, and I don't think the 6.5 is going to pop up. I don't think there's going to be enough public support for Indiana. But I tell you what, I do respect the hell out of Kurt Cignetti and what he's done with this team. And I don't think the Hoosiers are going to be an easy out in this game. And speaking of our buddy Wes Reynolds, he took to 7.5 with the Hoosiers. And
he sure did.
He's not necessarily a homer, but he thinks they match up well enough to cover this number. I don't disagree. Notre Dame, number 3 in the nation in scoring defense, 13.6 points a game. Tim, last thought here. When we were at the Coliseum and USC's offense put up 35, did that concern you a little bit or not?
It certainly did. And you look at Christian Gray, who was one of the corners for the Irish. Remember, the big issue for Notre Dame moving forward, Benjamin Morrison, their best pro prospect, he's out for the year. He's got a hip injury. He's done. And I think this Notre Dame team, if they were fully healthy, I think is a legitimate national champion contender. Now, the bracket, I think, broke pretty well for him, especially with the injury to Carson Beck. But the loss of Benjamin Morrison, having now a very young secondary, Christian Gray on one side and then a true freshman on the other side, I think is certainly concerning. But you got to ask yourself, does Indiana have the athletes to make them pay like USC did at the Coliseum? That was a pretty impressive performance until they made that devastating mistake going in trying to tie the game at 35 apiece. So much more on this game certainly as the weeks go on. Once again, we're live right now on X at VSiN Live, where we are streaming this show. Stanford Steve going to come up here in about 5 minutes. Before we hit a break here, Matt, let's jump to the other primetime game, which will be on Saturday night, Tennessee and Ohio State. This is another bet that you have made. You're looking at the dog here in Tennessee catching 7.5 at Ohio State.
I do. It's kind of a fade of the Buckeyes, and I've faded the Buckeyes a couple times recently, Tim, but it's more about, I think Tennessee is so strong on the offensive and defensive lines, too, that Ohio State's offensive line is going to have some problems in this game.
No left tackle, no center either for Ohio State.
I don't like Chip Kelly's play calling in the Michigan game. I don't like the way Will Howard's been playing quarterback late in the season. Tell me why Chip Kelly called 19 inside runs for a total of 18 yards against Michigan when your offensive line's banged up and you have all these playmakers, a wide receiver, and you don't try to get the ball to your playmakers on the perimeter. Instead, you're going to run up the middle 19 times for 18 yards. So I think there's so much negativity surrounding this Ohio State team now off the Michigan flop that I think the Vols are going to be in a good spot here to go in and maybe pull the upset. I'm not saying Tennessee's going to win the game, but I will take the 7.5.
Yeah, and we'll talk about a futures bet that you have regarding the potential opponent for the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee, which would be Oregon. And, you know, you look at the bracket, Oregon, a team that only undefeated team in college football, their reward, you get the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee. And then after that, might have to go to Jerry's World to take on Texas. So the bracket is certainly interesting, and it leads to a whole new angle to betting the futures market in college football. All right, we are up and running here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We're going to continue to pump these podcasts out all throughout the holiday season, getting you ready for bowl season, the semifinals, the quarterfinals, and, of course, the championship. All right, Stanford Steve, he is standing by from ESPN. He's going to give us his thoughts on the first round of the college football playoff. Will dogs be barking a week from Friday in South Bend? It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. Once again, the website, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We're live on X at VSiN Live, as well as on YouTube, youtube.com/VSiN Live. And, of course, the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Always great to talk to our good friend Stanford Steve, who joins us right now here on the podcast. You can catch him all over the place. Van Pelt Center, Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt, College Game Day, as well as the SV Pod. And your travel itinerary next week, Steve, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Lambeau Field. Bundle up, brother.
Yeah, we've been doing some shopping for some winter clothes. I know Humans is just laughing at me as he can wear a T-shirt and shorts every day, enjoying nice weather out where you guys are. But you guys earned that. I'll make it, but couldn't be more fired up. First time to Lambeau. And then obviously we have first college games on these campuses. Not too much more historic than the two we're going to that first week. So really, really fired up for these matchups.
Well, let's jump right into it. Notre Dame, Indiana, we were talking about it to start the show. 7.5 right now is the number. We've seen a little uptick in the total, 51.5, Steve. Will the dog be barking? Kirk Cignetti, you know, he was coaching up not too far from where you sit just a year ago at JMU, and now he's got Indiana in the playoff. Are they feisty next Friday night in South Bend?
Well, they're going to be feistier than any team Notre Dame's played in a long time, and it's not Notre Dame's fault. But they haven't played a defense with any kind of talent that Indiana brings to the table. You talk about C.J. West, a D-tackle up front. You know, then they got another all-conference. Pons at corner is really good. He's a little short, but He's an all-conference guy. He battled. And when you look at I'm trying to get Mikhail Kamara on the edge. Those guys are better than anything Notre Dame has seen. So as I think it'll work out well for Notre Dame, but as Notre Dame's feeling, you know, the Indiana defense out, you know, you can count on Notre Dame's defense. They're as legit as anybody. You guys touched on the injuries that they have already had. Morrison was probably the best NFL guy they had, but the freshman 15 comes in and he might be better than what Morrison was last year when he was so young. So I think it's a great matchup. I really like the under. I think both teams are going to be stubborn in trying to, you know, run the football. They have trust in their quarterbacks, but they that's not their asset they like to use. They like to throw the ball in advantageous situations. So the under's the play. And, you know, you guys were talking about the line 7, 7.5. I agree with Matt. I don't see it dropping below 7. I would lean towards the underdog if I want to take the points. Rourke's been good. Surratt's an all-conference receiver. Notre Dame's strength is their pass defense. They're going to man up. They're going to tackle as well as anybody in the country. So I like the under a lot, more than anything else in this game.
Yeah, I do too, under 51. And, Steve, don't worry about dressing warm for those trips. You know, when I covered UNLV basketball, I left Vegas and I flew to Denver once, and it was 70-something when I left Vegas. And I got to Denver, I forgot to check the weather, and it was 5 below. And I didn't even have a long-sleeve shirt. I had to stop at a sporting goods store to buy a sweatshirt. And it was 15 below by the time I got up to Wyoming. And the wind chill was 40 below. Yeah, so that fond memories of that trip. But that was the last time I've been to Laramie, Wyoming. I saw your sweatshirt there, Wyoming Cowboys. I said that Riley Leonard, the Notre Dame quarterback, reminds me a little bit of Josh Allen when he was at Wyoming because he's more athletic than people think. He can really get outside the pocket and run. And I think the Notre Dame running attack is going to be the difference in this game. Another reason I like the under. What do you think of Riley Leonard as a quarterback? Because you, as a former tight end, you want the quarterback to always deliver the ball on time in the right spot. He didn't always do that, but I think he's improved a little bit this year, and he's most effective as a runner.
No doubt. No doubt. And I think, you know, that comparison is good, Matt, because when you think about Leonard last year at Duke, he doesn't have the best weapons to throw to.
Right.
You know, so the accuracy deal, and going back to Josh Allen, that was everybody's biggest question. Why is he so inaccurate? He's not throwing a great players. But Riley Leonard has gotten himself better as a thrower. I think the addition of two tight ends being involved in the pass game, you saw that help them get going early against USC. It's been a staple of their offense. But again, it's really hard, you know. You go into this game and you're going to be a lot better throwing when the team might not think you're throwing the ball. And that's why I talk about being in advantageous situations. And that's what Indiana's done a great job of, is being in third and short and being in those downs where it is a possibility to run or pass. And Notre Dame's been even better, more so in those circumstances. So I expect both quarterbacks to play well, but the defenses are as strong as both teams have faced in a while.
Steve, looking ahead to Saturday, you'll be at Ohio State, Tennessee Saturday night. But let's look at earlier, SMU, Penn State. SMU gets their way into the field. They lose on a 56-yard field goal from Clemson. Kevin Jennings completely changed this season for them when they went to him instead of Preston Stone. What do you make of this spot here for Penn State at home? Noon kick there at Happy Valley. 8.5-point spread right now between SMU and Penn State.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, the roles have totally reversed for SMU. You think about all the pressure they were on the last couple of weeks to get in that ACC title game and then go down 24-7 and then be down, you know, double digits going into the fourth quarter. I see Rhett Lashley really liking this opportunity. You don't have to deal with a night game there. You know, you mentioned it's at noon. Penn State's still going to do a wideout. Why it took forever to do that, that's a problem for Penn State fans. I'll never understand the mindset of a Penn State fan. But anyway, I look at SMU being dangerous. The issue is how much can they hold up defensively? Mm-hmm. You know, Penn State with Kotelnicki and the idea that they use Warren and all these different places. All I wanted all year for them to succeed was to throw the ball to their running backs. And that's what they did against Oregon. They have two NFL running backs. And when you don't have wide receivers that can separate, you got to figure out ways to get the best players the football. They did that with Tyler Warren all year, and now they seem like they found a way to do that with their running back. So I look at the over in that game. I could see SMU, you know, coming in the back door late in the game, but the mindset of SMU has totally changed. And Jennings is good. I I can't stand how he keeps one hand on the football when he's scrambling. But by God, is he talented. And with a free will and attitude and nothing to lose, SMU is pretty dangerous here. Knowing what Penn State has looked like, especially last week defensively, when Oregon just tore him up and did whatever they wanted. So I would lead towards the over in SMU plus the points there.
Yeah, much different quarterback, much different SMU team than the one that almost lost to Nevada in Reno in late August, when you think about that. Steve, how about in Columbus? Tennessee defensive line going to cause a lot of problems for this Ohio State offense, do you think? Will Howard has not been very good late in the season, and I don't know what Chip Kelly's doing. Can you explain why he ran the ball between the guards 19 times for 18 yards against Michigan? He's got to change his play calling, right?
Yeah, I think that was just a matter of being stubborn, and maybe the head coach was even more stubborn in his direction for what they were doing against Michigan. When you talk about the matchups they had on the outside, Will Johnson didn't even play the last 2 months, tapping out in the season for Michigan. So you thought Ohio State would throw the football. But then when you get into it in that second half, you know, the time of possession, they never had the ball, it seemed like, in the fourth quarter. So everything is magnified. And then you go back, and what did you do early in the game? You were stubborn trying to run the football. There was one way Michigan was going to win that game, and that was what happened. Mm-hmm. You turn the ball over going in the end zone. You turn the ball backed up, and Michigan gets a two-yard drive, and that's their only touchdown drive of the day. It was just a disaster. Worst-case scenario. I expect Ohio State, it's kind of like 2 years ago with C.J. Stroud when they went to play Georgia in the playoff. They are as free. They'll be as free-willing and get the ball to their assets on the outside. I just like the matchup for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the defensive line. Ohio State's beat up there. And when you look at Tennessee's offense, I'm not blown away by Ohio State's defense. I haven't been all year. They made a big deal about all those guys coming back. But, I think Penn State has more difference makers up front on the defensive line than Ohio State does. So I really like Tennessee getting more than a touchdown. I'd even dabble with the money line. It's a really interesting scenario. If Ohio State, with that fan base, and they come out and they go 3-and-out, and then they're down 7-0 or something, that could be a dangerous, dangerous atmosphere.
Yeah, yep. The Boo Birds could be coming out there. There's no doubt. They could be calling for – they're already calling for Ryan Day's job, and they haven't even played a playoff game. Hey, Steve, we got about 45 seconds. Quick thoughts on Clemson, Texas. Clemson catching 11 down in Austin.
Yeah, I like Texas's road better than anybody in the whole playoff, guys. I know they don't have the marquee win, but I've watched them 4 times in person. They totally have the goods to make a run in this thing. I think it's a tough matchup for Clemson. Even though Clemson has gotten better, and it's because of Cade Klubnik, they're going to have to score, though, against them. I do like Clemson plus the points, but I like Texas's road moving forward.
You got an Army-Navy pick for us?
I'm just fired. I think it's as even as anything that we've seen. Going back, we had a considerable underdog in this game, and now you look at Army giving all those points. I look at Navy as being dangerous. Plus 6.5 in a game like this, where that clock never seems to stop, I look at Navy in that game.
Blake Horvath should be good to go. It'll be in your backyard down at the Commander's Stadium there. So, Steve, always appreciate it, man. Safe travels. Bundle up when you head to South Bend, all right?
Will do.
There he is. Stanford Steve. You'll catch him on ESPN, College Game Day, Scott Van Pelt Sports Center, as well as the SV Pod. Speaking of Army-Navy, I've got some thoughts on that game, the final regular season game. Join us. We're live on X at VSIN Live. It is the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, here at the D alongside Matt Eumanns. You can follow him on X at MattEumanns247. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. Follow us at VSiN Live, and we'll be doing much more of these live streams for all of you. We appreciate all of you listening and watching, and the questions coming in on YouTube as well at youtube.com/VSiN Live. But to all of our regulars, just continue to rate, review, review, and subscribe. And what would be a great Christmas present to all of us is to continue to hit that five-star review. All right, enough of the housekeeping. Let's get to the games at hand. And I did want to hit on this game just a little bit. Navy and Army. This game will be played at, I was about to say FedEx Field. It's now Northwest Stadium there in Landover, Maryland, the home of the Washington Commanders. So the unders in these games have come home in record-setting fashion. Last year, it was a total of 28, believe it or not. What was interesting to note here, and you know, not that SP Plus is the Bible by any stretch of the imagination, but their prediction was actually 31-23. So that'd be 15 points higher than the total in this game. Just worth noting there. I am not going to mess around with the total in this one. But Matt, I was texting with Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook, who we both know and respect his work over there at DK behind the counter. Before the American Athletic Championship game, where Army went out and won as around a 4.5-point underdog against Tulane, the point spread at DraftKings was Army 2.5. It's now Army 6.5. And from all accounts, Blake Horvat, the quarterback for Navy, is good to go. He said it to, a gentleman interviewing him for Navy's website, said, yep, I'm all good. He's been dealing with some injuries, didn't play against East Carolina. I think this is a pretty big overreaction, and we just, you know, heard from Stanford Steve regarding the points in this spot. So there were sevens out there on Monday. I think you might get a seven at some point. If not, I'm not a big fan of buying points, but I think with a total of 39 and the way that this history and this rivalry has played out, Matt, I would buy it to seven if you need to. Let's be patient. Let's see if we get the seven. There's some juice sixes, 6.5s out there. 10 of the last 13 Army-Navy games have been decided by seven or less points. So I like the points here with Navy. I think this is a very competitive game. I wouldn't be surprised if Navy won this game outright, but give me the seven with the midshipmen here against Army.
Yeah, I liked Army last week against Tulane.
Yeah.
Black Knights ran them off the field. And it was a pretty impressive performance to win the conference last week. I would think Army doesn't play its A game again this week against Navy. And, Timmy, that's a pretty good pro tip on your part. Be patient. No reason to run out or jump on the app and take the 6.5 when a 7 might pop up on Saturday. And, again, even if you have to buy the 7, I think that's the way I would have to play it here because, like you're talking, these games are close, low scoring typically, and I think this is going to follow that script. Out at Caesars Will Hill right now, Army is a 6.5-point favorite of -115, right? So it's not that far from maybe touching 7 at a couple books. And if that happens, I would have to take Navy plus 7. What are your thoughts on the total at 39? You know, I'm not going to bet an Army-Navy game over the total.
No.
And obviously these games have been skewed heavily toward the under. And I think that's going to be the case here. You've watched both of these teams get blown out by Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, no, I have. And, you know, you look at the familiarity between these two programs. Even when one team is down, you know, the last time Army won going away was the COVID season. I think they won 15-0. 2019, Malcolm Perry, who eventually went off to the NFL, ran all over Army 31-7. But these games historically are very close. It was interesting to note, in 2016, Matt, I was on the Navy broadcast team, and in that year, Navy made the AAC championship game. They lost their quarterback, Will Wirth, to injury, and they had to play their backup, Zach Abey, in the Army-Navy game. And it just the offense wasn't there. Fortunately for Army, Bryson Daly is healthy. He's playing very well. He's rushed for 29 touchdowns on the year, Matt. But, you know, you think about it, Navy had an extra week to prepare for Army while Army was playing in the AAC championship game. How about this over at VSiN.com? Our betting splits, much more action will come in. 92% of bets on Army at 6.5.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know, you talk to these odds makers, and sometimes when the market is just not willing to go back to 7, kind of telling you a little bit of a story, but I do think there's going to be books out there that the money is just going to be too much and they will pop a 7 at some point here. So yeah, let's be patient. If you have to buy to 7, I would do so, especially with a low total of 39. But yeah, some people that I've talked to who are more numerically based say the over is a look here. I can't do it. I just historically, when you look at this, rivalry, how about last year, real quickly? Game closed 28, a comically low total.
Right.
It was 17-9, fourth and goal from the one. Navy gets stuffed, and there was 1 second left, and Army took a safety to get a push on the total. I think there were some 27 and a halves out there as well. So some people were able to hit the over. I think there was some middling as well, but pretty crazy finish a year ago.
I think that's the lowest total I've ever seen on a college football game.
That's insane.
You said there were some 27 and a half.
I think there was a 27 and a half.
Have you ever seen a lower total?
No.
I have not.
No. Maybe, what was it, in 2016 there was a Notre Dame-NC State game played in the middle of a hurricane.
I recall that.
And
total was like 30, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Brian Kelly continued to go in shotgun. Not that I am upset about that loss or anything like that. All right, Matt, we talked about this. Let's take a look at some of the unique markets for the college football playoff. You've looked into one of them, and that's the great part about the playoff is not only do we get more football, less opt-outs in these games, but we got more opportunities to bet. So take us through a best bet that you wrote up for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, available now, VSiN.com/subscribe, regarding Oregon in the futures market.
I went through the DraftKings menu for the college football playoff futures, and I was surprised to see win totals for the college football playoff up there for each team. Tim, before I jump into Oregon, I'm going to ask you, which team of the 12 do you think has the best quarterback, the most reliable quarterback as we head to the postseason?
I would say Oregon, Dylan Gabriel.
I would, too, because that's a big part of making the bet.
I would
here.
Say most reliable is the way to I would look at it.
Yeah,
you know, upside,
right.
Maybe you could look at, I don't know, I mean, if you want to say Quinn Ewers, I'm not there, but
nah.
I think reliability, it's Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, I think it's Gabriel, too, and we're not talking about who's the best NFL prospect.
Right.
Who's the best college quarterback? Who's the most reliable? As we head to the 12-team playoff, to me, it's Dylan Gabriel at Oregon, and I'm not even sure it's that close. And Oregon's the undisputed number one seed here as we head to the 12-team playoff. So I bet Oregon win total over a half, which is obviously Oregon needs to win one game to cash this ticket. And Oregon's a minus 130. Hmm. So you go ahead and look at what are the look-ahead lines here. If the Ducks face the Buckeyes, if they face Ohio State in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, the look-ahead line is Ohio State 1.5. I believe you tweeted out all the look-ahead
lines. Yeah, Ohio State plus 1.5, yep.
So it would be Oregon 1.5 over Ohio State, Oregon 6.5 over Tennessee. I don't think it's going to be that high, by the way, if it's Tennessee. But anyway, I'm basically laying 130 for Oregon to win a game, and I like it because I think the Ducks have improved, especially offensively, since they beat the Buckeyes 32-31 in Eugene in the middle of October. And that was a game where Dylan Gabriel actually lit it up. Actually, he is completing 73% of his passes, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions this season. He threw for 341 yards and 2 touchdowns in that first meeting against Ohio State. I think Oregon's better offensively now than it was then. I think Ohio State has regressed. Pretty much, Tim, I think the Buckeyes have regressed in all areas. And that's why I'm willing to lay the 130 here that Oregon's going to win at least one game, be it against Ohio State or Tennessee, and also have a bit of a location advantage playing at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena in that quarterfinal playoff round. Ducks offense in high gear right now, averaged 47 points in the past two wins against Penn State and Washington. I think Dan Lanning is a bet-on coach, and I like this DraftKings prop. I understand why DraftKings priced it at minus 130. That's basically the money line,
yep,
you would think, on an Ohio State-Oregon game with Oregon a slight favorite. But I like the Ducks, and I like their chances to get to the championship game.
So many unique ways to bet the college football playoff. How many wins will road teams get in the first round, over under 1.5, juiced under minus 230? You mentioned the total of wins. You know, I looked at that, the look-ahead market as well, and it's always kind of interesting how to bet these particular things. And a bet that I like is Texas minus 11.5 against Arizona State. Now, once again, if Texas were to get upset by Clemson, the bet gets voided. That's, you know, the house rules there at DraftKings. But I wrote this up for the guide as well, which was, I think if this matchup happens, and I know you and I got called out on social media, we're Arizona State haters, I get it. You have Cam Scataboo, who's awesome, but you're running into the teeth of that Texas defensive line. in the Peach Bowl. I just think it would be a terrible matchup for Arizona State. You and I don't like the lay numbers, but I think that look-ahead price, 11.5, would be a way that I would look here with Texas against Arizona State.
Yeah, for the record, I've never been an Arizona State hater. Just because you bet against a team in a game doesn't mean you're a hater, right? Now I hate Iowa State after last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done with Matt Campbell. Flatten out your brim. Much more of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast next.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Just a reminder, 3 episodes a week in the feed, and we'll keep it rolling all throughout the bowl season. We also have our college football playoff betting guide available over at VSiN.com/subscribe, and the only way you're able to get your hands on that bad boy is to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Thanks to all of you watching on YouTube, on X, as well as we continue to keep this rolling and live interactions here for the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast as we work our way through with the college football playoff. Matt, before we get to some early bowl thoughts and bets we've thrown out there, I do want to hit this. Circa put out their exactas, their championship exactas, and I wanted to take a look at this and if anything jumped out to you. I know you have a Notre Dame to win the title. You gave it out last week at 10-1. You can still find that in that 8-9-1 range out there, but taking a look at this championship exacta, the way the bracket breaks, anything interests you from a little pizza bet type of feel there for a championship exacta?
Yeah, I think when you look at this, first of all, Tim, ask which teams are you going to throw out?
Mm-hmm.
Who's not going to be in the championship game when you look at the bracket? Who would you throw out? I'm going to throw out Penn State.
I would agree.
Even though Penn State's got an easier road, I know a lot of people think the Nittany Lions have an easy path. I'm going to throw out Penn State. I'm going to throw out Georgia, too, because of the quarterback situation. And, hey, it's not like Carson Beck was, like I say, he was not lighting it up. I just don't think they can get there, the Bulldogs, with Gunnar Stockton as their quarterback. Last week, actually, Westgate Superbook had 12-1 on Notre Dame to win the playoffs. So I grabbed 12-1 on that. I think Oregon defeats Notre Dame is the most likely outcome for me, and that's 15-1 at Circa. I have not bet that. Maybe I'll take a shot on that. But I think Ducks, Fighting Irish for the national championship. Tim Murray, you would sign up for that,
I'd
right?
be all in. Yeah. Make it happen. Let's make it happen. We'll take a road trip down to, where is it? It's in Atlanta this year. So
I'm not going to take the road trip to Atlanta.
No? You're not going to join me?
If it were in Phoenix, I would go, but I'm not going to Atlanta. No.
I tell you what.
I'm thinking about going to Pasadena. I'd like to go there for that Oregon, Ohio State, or Oregon-Tennessee game.
That'll be lovely. Yeah. New Year's Day, 5:00 Eastern.
Oh, you know what? We got to work New Year's Day.
We do. Man, yeah. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe we could take the show on the road. I don't know. We're getting high tech here at VSiN. We've got live streams all over the place. Maybe we could take the show on the road.
We got one of those VSiN white vans with no windows in it. We can have Wyatt Tomchek drive the van down to Pasadena. We'll park it outside the Rose Bowl, and we'll do the show live from the parking lot.
I like
the golf
that
course.
I like that idea.
Yeah,
let's make that happen. Looking at this, as we mentioned, a lot of different ways to bet the college football playoff exacta. For me, you know, Texas over Notre Dame, Oregon over Notre Dame are some interesting ways to look at the exacta. Texas over Notre Dame, 15-1. Oregon over Notre Dame, 15-1. If you think Georgia, you know, beats Notre Dame, according to my Twitter feed, that's the bet of the century, is that Georgia as a dog against Notre Dame will come home with Gunnar Stockton. So if you think that's the case, you know, Texas over Georgia, Oregon over Georgia, both there 10-1.
You know, I don't see it. And here's the
thing. I hope you're right, Matt.
Now, here's the thing about Georgia. I was on Georgia last week +3 against Texas. I felt a little bit lucky when the game was over because, hey, Texas, how many? First, Bert Austin missed 2 field goals. Quinn Ewers threw a bad interception when it felt like all the momentum was going to go the Longhorns' way. And then how about when Gunnar Stockton threw that pick late in the game, Tim? I thought there was a chance that was going to be a pick 6 going the other way, and luckily there was one guy there to make the tackle. I don't think Georgia, with Gunnar Stockton at quarterback, is going to beat Notre Dame.
I hope you're right. And let's get the Irish past the Hoosiers first. But I tell you what, down in the Sugar Bowl, that will be quite the scene. Looking forward to that. Hopefully that is the case, as the nightcap of the quarterfinals would be Notre Dame versus Georgia. Look ahead line right now at DraftKings. Notre Dame -2. Before we jump into a couple bowl best bets that we have, and we'll hit our best bets recap here in just a moment. Overall, as things have changed, Matt, for bowl season, it's not just NFL players opting out. The portal is open. So you're looking at the best players from the group of five. They've hit the portal. You've got coaching changes left and right. How do you now attack the bowl season?
Well, I don't really attack it, because I think in the old days you would attack it. You would see a number and you would go ahead and jump out and bet it because you felt like that number wasn't going to be there on game day. Now I kind of just let it come to you, Tim, instead of attacking it, right? That's kind of the way you got to play it, because with the transfer portal and guys opting out, so many different variables that you have to handicap now, a lot of times you get yourself in trouble when you think you're grabbing a good number early. I know somebody on the VSIN staff and another pro bettor a couple days ago, the two different guys who laid four with Cal against UNLV, thinking that, oh, that's got to be a great bet. UNLV's not going to have anybody. A day after making that bet, laying four with Cal, guess what? The number drops to 1.5.
Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback at the portal.
Right, Golden Bears quarterback. Opts out, enters the transfer portal. So now you're sitting there with Cal -4, and you shouldn't have made that bet. That's what I'm saying. I think you – and Nick Bogdanovich of Circus Sports made the same comment when I was talking with him the other day. It's probably best to wait until a couple days before the game or day before the game. You got to make sure you know who's going to be in. Tim, we like to speculate on motivation and who's going to show up for these games and things like that. And that's where you can, I guess, find a few plays that you do like. If you want to play the Dr. Phil angle of it and kind of project the motivation, right, and who's going to show up. And I think that's kind of how you got to guess at some of these bowl games. So I would not recommend anybody – pouring bets or spraying bets all over the board before you get to the bowl season.
Right? Yeah, and I mean, be careful, you know. Don't throw 7-unit plays out there, you know, if you want to try to jump in on a bet. I've been fortunate. A couple of the bets that I've made have moved in my direction. But guess what? Doesn't mean I'm in short a winner. You know, we'll see how these games play out. So let's do this. Let's hit our best bets recap, and we'll go through a couple of the early bowl plays. So let's do it. Best bets recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, you start us off. You've got a couple CFP plays in pocket, as well as a couple bowl games. So run us through your plays.
All right, we talked about this with Stanford Steve. We talked about the first two of these. He's on the same page. Steve has had a good handicapping season,
right? He
has. So hopefully we got a couple winners here. Indiana, Notre Dame under the total of 51 on that Friday night in South Bend. Tim, it'd be okay with me if it was very cold and windy.
I won't be there, so make it as cold as possible.
I think it's going to be a run-oriented game on both sides. Defenses dominate. I'll give the Irish a 24-20 win, and they advance to face Gunnar Stockton and the Bulldogs next week. But I like Notre Dame to win the game. I'm not laying the points. I like under 51 as a better bet in that game. Tennessee +7.5 at Ohio State. Let's go Oregon over a half. College football playoff wins. That means Oregon wins one game. You're a winner at -130. That's up at DraftKings. And again, from last week, Notre Dame 10-1 to win the college football playoff. And then I do have a couple bowl game plays that I'm taking a shot at here, where I feel like I should be getting a good number. You want me to mention those now?
Yeah, go for them.
Okay, let's go with the Hawaii Bowl on New Year's Eve. We love the Hawaii Bowl.
God, it's the best. Back on Christmas Eve, it's a miracle.
Ignore the family. Tune in for football.
Damn
for
right.
3.5 hours. San Jose State -3 against USF. And, Tim, this is a homecoming for Coach Ken.
Yes,
I know
is.
You like that angle as well, and I think you're going to see San Jose money. We've already seen it. I've already seen 3.5s pop up on the board, and I think a 4. DraftKings had a 3 this morning. San Jose -3 over USF in the Hawaii Bowl. Spartans lost that game a year ago. I think Coach Ken's going to get the win this time. He's got a quarterback who's hot right now. And BYU +3 over Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. I'm not completely convinced that we're going to see Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter play all four quarters in that game.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I am excited. I would say the bowl game outside of the playoff that I'm most excited about, the Alamo Bowl, December 28th, 7:30 Eastern. That's going to be a fun one. All right, I'll run through my plays as well. And, you know, all these plays, I've given out a bunch on the podcast, so make sure to check them out. We'll start with the Army-Navy game. Let's be patient. There was a 7 earlier this week. I think we get a 7 at some point. If not, let's pay the juice. We'll get to 7. I like Navy to keep it close in the final regular season game. All right, a bowl game, money line parlay. What could possibly go wrong with this? Memphis and James Madison. This is the Frisco Bowl to the Boca Raton Bowl. I will take James Madison and Memphis in this spot. I think Memphis could be very motivated against a West Virginia team. Seth Hennigan, I think, walks out a winner. Around plus 105 on that. All right, three more real quickly. UConn plus 4.5 against the soon-to-be Bill Belichick-led North Carolina Tar Heels, the Fenway Bowl. This one's been on the move. Army minus 13.5. This number was out there on Wednesday, Matt. It's now 14.5, 15 against Marshall in the Independence Bowl. It's going to be cold in Shreveport, and Marshall's entire team is in the portal. Yeah. If you're in a confidence pool, number one most confident play, if you're just saying straight up pick 'em, Army, and then Michigan. They might have some opt-outs. Don't know about Jalen Milroe. I'll take 11.5 with the Michigan Wolverines against Alabama. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks to everyone who joined us on VSiN Live, Twitter feed, on YouTube. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks to Wyatt. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.